In the name of Jesus, amen. They liked their church just the way it was. They didn't like it when people came and messed with their church. They liked it just the way it was. And then the young pastor came. Young in his 30s. And he started asking about things that they had long ago forgotten even anything about. He started challenging them on things that no one had ever done before. Or at least they couldn't remember. They were pretty good at hurting and marginalizing people who didn't like and ask questions. But not everybody treated the young pastor that way. He was preaching about the kingdom of God. He was talking about how sinners have forgiveness and that God is merciful in the promised Messiah. But to be sure, the leaders grew to hate him. The young pastor's name was Jesus. We're starting a little mini sermon series looking at the title, Beware of Religious People. And understanding who and what we are as God's vineyard. One of his favorite illustrations for his family. He thought of his family and thinks of his family as being a vineyard. And we'll spend 3 weeks just looking at this, looking at our gospel reading for the day. It's fascinating. Before we get to our reading for today, Jesus is being challenged more and more by the leaders of the church that don't like what he's doing, that don't like what he's saying, even though many people are starting to follow him because he's setting them free from the bondage of sin and slavery, from the fear of death. And right before our reading, it's Palm Sunday. They throw a party for him. They see him as the one promised long ago to come, and all the leaders want to do is get rid of him. And then he just like blows a gasket. He goes to church one day, fashions a whip, and drives out. Well, we really aren't sure. The grammar makes it so that it sounds like he even drove out all the people. Out of my temple, out of my temple. You've made my father's house into a den of thieves. No pastor had done that before. How dare he do that? Now, to be fair, they needed to have animals because there was still the sacrificial system going on. Not everybody had the right kind of currency. There had to be an exchange. So all those things were right and proper, except for it was for all the wrong reasons. Our meditation this morning is titled Turf Protection versus Faithfulness. And we spend time thinking about this, not just about what happened to Jesus, but what can happen to us. You see, we can become so comfortable and we can desire things in certain ways that we can turn God's enterprise into a club, into a place where some can fit in and some cannot. The church in Jesus' day had become so legalistic that they had marginalized anybody and everyone who was sensitive to their own sinfulness and failures. Tragically, the same thing can happen in our day and our time. Instead of understanding that this is God's enterprise, we can turn it into our own. Become a good old boy. Become a club. To think things are fine with just a little Jesus. Following him maybe at a distance because there's other things we'd like to follow and be a part of as well. But Jesus doesn't settle for that. Jesus comes to bring new life and new ways. And certainly we see that in our text for today. The challenge, and we'll get into the text in just a moment, was even for those who were rejecting Jesus, Jesus was still opening up his arms. I did a Bible study with a group of men a long time ago where we just looked at how Jesus treated his enemies in Matthew's gospel. And it's fascinating to see how Jesus even treated the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes in such a welcoming way. He wanted to actually involve them in his work early on. And then there comes a time when he says to them, "Woe are you." And when God damns people, it's effective. And that's in chapter 23 of Matthew's gospel, and we're in chapter 21 of Matthew's gospel. So what's going on? Why is there this level of conflict? It's because Jesus is simply coming to his church to rescue it. And so we pick up in chapter 21 of Matthew's gospel. Now, this is one of those things where I get to be the narrator and you get to be the mad religious people, okay? So, you know, be mad religious people when it's your turn, and you'll see it. And when he entered the temple, this is after, you know, he threw a fit. Now he's coming back. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "Oh, you don't sound like angry religious people. Come on now. Look, look, I mean, they were first welcoming, and oh, what's this pastor doing here, rabbi? Oh, man, he's really a weirdo. And then after a while, I can't believe he's doing that. And after a while, it's how dare he do this kind of stuff. So, you know, come on. I know you're afraid you'll scare people, but you gotta do this, right? I mean, they've had it up to here. I mean, what else is he going to do? So what do they have to do? They've got to question his authority. Okay, let's try this again. Take two. Oh, sorry. I must have pressed the button. The chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "Yeah, what's going on with you?" You know, that's what they're doing. And it is about authority. It is about authority. This is a constitution problem and a bylaw problem and a scriptural problem. And in their day and their time, there was no difference. The ironic thing is they don't have any authority. They've relinquished all their authority. They've taken authority that wasn't theirs. They gave away authority they were supposed to keep. So it is about authority. At least they're asking the right question. The problem is that they think they know what they're doing to the one who has the authority. And it's really about authority. You know, I've been authorized in all kinds of ways. In fact, I've been authorized by the civil government to drive for a long, long time. How about you? I mean, think of all the ways that you and I have been authorized. I mean, we have a beautiful system in our government process levels. And there's all kinds of authority. And as you exercise authority, things can go well. But when you stop exercising authority in a good way, things can go really bad. And here are people questioning the authority of Jesus, who long before started going in the wrong directions. And when you start exercising authority in an inappropriate way, it just starts balling up more and more and more and more. Not only do you and I have civil authority in various and sundry ways, but you and I have been authorized to live out our lives in God-honoring ways. In the way that we live out being single, in the way that we date, in the way that we marry, in the way that we go about marriage and parenting and grandparenting, the way we work with each other. We've been authorized through the forgiveness of our sins and in the power of the Holy Spirit. God has authorized us as a church to be about various and sundry things. We call it mission and ministry, we call it a budget, we call it boards and all this, and it gets to be so dry and boring, and maybe everybody knows about that, but it is so precious. This is how we carry out the authority that God has given to us. And it's not all the same. So it is about authority. Who authorized you to do what you do? I don't know how often they said that to Jesus, but he kept showing them over and over and again his authority. Because he did, without fear, preach the word. And all the miracles he did kept pointing to, like billboard sign. This is the guy, this is the guy. All the signs, this is the authorization. They're not buying it. They just want to have a power play. Because Jesus is messing with their turf. He's not falling in line. And all their subtle hints have become huge things, and he's not going there. Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? Now, your part's coming. This time you're not mad, you're struck. Oh my goodness, there's people watching us having this conversation. We wanted to just have a power play, show some power, Jesus. And now he's going to have a conversation with us, and we're going to have to talk about things with him. Okay, so you get the sense of what's going on. Now you're going to be kind of inquisitively scared in your response, religious people. And they discussed it among themselves, saying, oh, they're really stuck now. So Jesus isn't being big toward them. He's just wanting to talk. So I'll answer the question. You answer one for me too. See, they didn't accept John the Baptizer's ministry. But plenty did. In fact, John was treated just like Jesus was being treated. John's dead. So, people that seek to be loving and caring, who want to share the truth because they've been authorized to, won't always be well received. John was not well received by the leaders of the church. Again, he was a threat to their turf, although a number of them went out to see him in the wilderness. But now they're really in a difficult place. If we say from heaven, he'll say, so why didn't you believe him? And if we say it was just something he did, fanatic he was, everyone will be after us because we are. I mean, fascinating. They're admitting that they're afraid. I mean, they could have said to Jesus, we're afraid to answer the question. to think that these leaders were carrying out their work in being afraid. This is one of those things that happens. Oftentimes, leaders that don't carry out their authority will carry out their authority where they can. I mean, we know from the New Testament witness that the Pharisees were making people earn their salvation. If you did this, this, and this, then you were good with God. We call that legalism. And that's something, as Lutherans, we've been against. They weren't afraid to tie up these heavy bundles on people. Oh, if you want to do salvation, this is how you do it. Follow us. Instead of being authorized to share the good news, they took authority that wasn't theirs. So what comes next? So they answered Jesus. Come on, tell the truth. We're afraid to answer. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You know, don't attend every argument you're invited to, right? That's the old cliche. And Jesus just stopped the whole conversation, but not without a story. And it's interesting what follows from this as we unfold this the next couple of Sundays. But here's the story. What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They answered, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believed him. So Jesus ends up answering the question. Both why John came and why he came. And they were authorized by way of righteousness. And then he tells the story of the two sons. The first, I won't go and did. The second, I'll go and didn't. And Jesus equates them as the ones who think they have it all figured out, the self-righteous, and then the tax collectors and the sinners. In that day, it was the tax collector. It was the prostitute who were the bad people. And certainly what they were doing was wrong. But when they heard Jesus and were received by Jesus, it changed their lives. It set them free. But that self-righteous bondage, thinking to earn, thinking to get approval, how dare those people do this, that kind of thinking was just as bad as prostitution and being unethical in finances. But they didn't see it. If you don't see yourself among the sinners, you're not numbered among the saints. Dear people, If you don't see yourself among the tax collectors and the prostitutes, you're not among the saints. Because the work of being a saint is not your work nor mine. It's the work of Christ, who embraces us with his forgiveness and mercy and empowers us to live differently. Not perfectly, but in repentance and faith, repentance and faith. So thankful that the sacrifice that was necessary for our salvation was paid in full. You know, one of God's favorite illustrations of his kingdom, his family, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is the picture of a vineyard. Now in California, that was fitting here. I don't know what would be fitting here. A place that grows, a place that needs care, a place that produces. I suppose you could call it Texas Instruments. I don't know. Maybe all the sports teams we have. God cares about his vineyard. And Jesus is doing his vineyard work. He's doing his precious work. Welcoming sinners into God's vineyard, his family, his kingdom. And through his mercy and grace, mercy, not treating them as they deserve, grace, giving them what they don't deserve, growing them in his grace and favor. Man, you're a precious cluster of grapes, or maybe if you're just a grape, you've got all kinds of seeds, you'll produce a lot. I don't know. However it works, you're God's precious, precious, growing, alive, and kicking people. And this is his vineyard. This is his turf. And there's all kinds of things for us to be involved in, whether it's Journey to the Manger or our various and sundry Bible studies or getting things done and working on our physical plant, serving behind the scenes in the organization. All these things are meant to be places where we exercise the authority God has given to us to make disciples, to baptize and teach. Will we be tempted to hold it to ourselves? Absolutely. But a church that is just protecting turf is going to die. It's going out of business. But a church that's willing to say, Lord, I'm holding this too close. How do I figure that out? What am I going to do here? How are we going to help them? That church is willing to grow new stuff and keep stuff, but figure out how to go forward. Because this is God's enterprise. It's his vineyard. And he loves us. And he is growing us by his grace and love. Think of what he's invested. Because we know the rest of the story. The pastor got kicked out. And the church brought up all kinds of crazy charges against him to the civil authorities. And the civil authorities were afraid of the people. You know how it goes. We've heard about that with other leaders. And that pastor, at 33, was put to death. Because they wanted justice. But praise the Lord, justice was done. Not our kind of justice, when we're religious people scorned, but righteous justice, when God wants to rescue and bless his church. And it's in him that we have new life today. So grow as trees or as grape clusters on the vine. Because you're precious to God. And it's about learning to be faithful. Living faithfully. Serving faithfully. And keep in mind, it's not going to be well received by those who want you to just go along. But isn't that what is needed in marriage? Isn't that what's needed in parenting? Isn't that what's needed in raising kids and doing stuff? Isn't that what we're asking our leaders to do? Isn't that what you want me to do? So like John and like Jesus, you and I, at times we'll rail against those who are trying to be faithful. And at times we'll see how being faithful is certainly not a popularity contest. But it's what those who believe the gospel seek to do in their lives to the glory of God and to be a blessing in his vineyard. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that you understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.